Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie Sapinski, and you're listening to Returning Home. I want to just talk a bit about something that happened to me. I feel like I was really blessed, and God is watching me and helping me. 2 days ago, I picked up a friend's car. She went to America with her family for a little while and asked me if I would take her car for her and keep an eye on it and keep it with me in Susia, in my house, in my yeshuv. And I did. It took me a while to get to the airport. I got a ride to the Be'er Sheva train station. I took a train to Lod, and from Lod, I took a bus to the El Al Junction. And in the airport, I had to take another bus to Terminal 3. I did this with my daughter. It took about 3.5 hours. And we did it. And I picked up her car and drove it home. And last night, I took the car. She said I should drive it a little. I'm on the insurance, and I drove it to Kiryat Arba to pick up a Shabbat guest. And we were waiting for the guest at the Trampiada. Now, some of you know, maybe some of you don't know, a Trampiada is the same thing as a bus stop. Lots of people wait there for rides and for buses, so it's crowded. And we were waiting there for this girl, a guest, and the buses were, you know, coming very close to me. So my daughter said, Mommy, let's wait in the gas station so we won't be so close to these buses. So I turned the car around, I went into the gas station, I washed the windows, and we got on the phone that my guest had arrived. So I went to leave the gas station, and in front of me was a Jeep full of soldiers, and I had to wait, and they weren't moving, so I put the car in reverse, and I backed up a little bit, and then they moved, and I put the car in drive, and the car kept going in reverse, and I looked down, and it's in drive, and it kept going reverse, and it was scary, you know, the car was going reverse. So I asked the soldiers to help me, and they, you know, tried to have me start the car, and they couldn't figure it out. I called my mechanic, who happens to live in Kiryat Arba. This is 8 o'clock at night. And he came, and he saw that the gear belt had snapped on the car. And he said, thank God you weren't driving on the road. Thank God. And I also am thanking God for helping me, and we got a car and got home safely. The car is there, left it, and it will be fixed. But thank God, I am safe, my daughter's safe. We weren't on the road when that happened, and maybe God is trying to tell me something. We'll be right back after these messages, and thank you for joining us today.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Returning Home. This is your host, Natalie Sapinski. We are speaking to you live from my studio in Susia in the beautiful southern Hebron Hills. We have joining us today a new immigrant, a new Olé. We have spoken to Moshe before, Moshe Dejman. Originally, he came here from Baltimore a couple of weeks ago. Some of you remember when we spoke to him when he was still in Baltimore. Moshe, thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Great. So I remember the last time we spoke, we checked in with you. You had just gotten here. You did not have any furniture. You finally got a couch. You had completed the 2 weeks of quarantine. And that was pretty much it. You had really just barely settled in. And I think even it was before Sukkot, right?
That's right. Yeah, that was just remembering that was a pretty crazy how far we've come since then.
Oh, good. I'm
even other little things,
that.
But, you know, like having your own bed and not sleeping on the floor on an inflatable mattress
Great.
For
so
a month
us,
and a half.
Us,
that was very nice to get your stuff we also got it in right before Rosh Hashanah, so that was also pretty logistically difficult moment. But we got everything in.
When you say okay, stay with us. We're losing you. We're losing you. Talk directly into the microphone.
Okay.
Oh, good. So you're saying you got everything in. I guess you mean you got furniture in. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, we had sent all of our belongings from America here to Israel, and it took about a month and a half, somewhere like 8-9 weeks to receive here. No, month and a half or so. And now we were able to finally sleep on our own beds and have all of our stuff. And now it's the process of unpacking, which is the next thing. But at the very least, you know, having our own things is, it's a pretty different type of experience. I moved from Venezuela into the U.S. in 2000, and it took me 16 years to become a citizen in the States. But when we walked in, we came in as tourists, and then we eventually became like a working visa. But at the time, we were like coming in from Venezuela, like as if pretending we're not actually staying to live here. Walking in with a tourist visa. So we basically walked in with two pieces of luggage, and that was it. And we just had to like play it off as if we're actually not coming to live here, so that they would give us the longest amount of time so that we could actually transition. We remained throughout the process completely, you know, we did everything correctly, but at the time that was like, here, you know, coming to Israel now, we get to bring all of our stuff in our own lift and bring our car, and, you know, it's a totally different experience.
Well, that's very good to hear. It's great to hear, and I say this repeatedly to you, it's great to hear your point of view, because you were an immigrant once before, and so many people don't have the benefit of that view, you know, and you appreciate the good, you appreciate what's working, because you've seen yeah. It work the other way. You told me in America they were almost like fighting you, you know, like against you.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's exactly how it is. They have no desire to take in new people, especially now. And Israel has it as their foundational, tenet to accept every Jew, and that's just fantastic, and important to take advantage of in these uncharted times.
Right. So we're going to get into that. We will get into that. But tell me just some practical things, if you can. If you have anything enlightening to tell us, if you have any surprises that you've encountered, any good stories, any difficulties, you know, what can you recall in the last, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks since we've spoken that has happened?
Yeah, sure. So I definitely have had a lot of unique experiences, a lot of little things that really reflect the character of this new environment, including the fact that, the way of being, of Israeli culture is very much like in your face, but as long as you also are, you know, holding your ground, then that's respected and it's good. And so that has been very good. The fact that we've been able for a little bit, everything was closed, but so we weren't able to get around so much. But at the times that we have, we've been able to go out to different, hikes and to the beach. And every time we go anywhere, it's just so beautiful. I mean, really, Israel has so much of a diverse landscape, and it's really, you really have a lot going on here. And everywhere we go with my family and kids, is really like feels like a very, very big vacation. You know, going to the beach, we're sitting on the beach in the Mediterranean. it's very nice and exotic,
right?
And gorgeous, and just so. Definitely, and the willingness of everyone to help, especially where we are, a lot of people have been through the same steps that we are now taking. So a lot of people are very cognizant of that and wanna help and want to kind of pay back the help that they received from those who helped them. And so there's this kind of chain of gratitude that continues to flow down. Nice. And it's, first of all, very, very helpful and beautiful. And second of all, it makes you want to also, you know, not break that and continue to do that for others as well. And so it's very uplifting, that part there.
That's great. You're in a very nice community. Beit Shemesh has a lot of olim. You know, you're experiencing something very special.
This is true.
I mean, it is. It isn't like that everywhere, but it's great to hear. Now, tell me what you were telling me off air. You are getting some questions. People are not sure if they want to come or not. Tell me what you think about what's going on in America now with the upcoming election. We're only, 2 weeks away from the U.S. elections. It's between now the Democrats and Republicans, Trump and Biden. Are things getting ugly? Are people getting nervous? I mean, that's what I hear. And my ear is not really to the ground. I don't talk to so many people in America these days. But you probably do.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely do keep a very close eye on what's going on over there. And a lot of people in my community in Baltimore know that we made Aliyah. And so we've recently been contacted by a few different people. People who are friends and also people who are just, acquaintances, kind of loose acquaintances. I guess they heard that we had made Aliyah and they wanted to find out more and know more about the process, et cetera. In particular, one family was, wanted to speak to myself and my wife regarding it, and that they were thinking of making Aliyah and that they had their work situation allowed them to do so. So we started speaking to them and explaining to them, a bunch of things. So I asked them, when they were looking to make Aliyah, and they mentioned that they wanted to be looking into it more, like to make a pilot trip this upcoming summer, and then kind of see from there how things would go.
Right. And don't they realize that people aren't doing that now?
So I think that this is kind of driving at the root of the issue or the thing that I would really like to bring to attention in the public mindset is just the fact that, reality has changed, and the puzzle pieces or the chess pieces on the board have all reshuffled in a way that only happens once in a generation. And now it's just about having reality catch up to that and people realizing, oh, this is now where that piece is, and kind of getting a view of the new land. But the reality is that things have changed dramatically in a very short period of time. Coming from Venezuela, my grandparents immigrated to Venezuela. I moved to the United States and now I moved out. And there have been a lot of parallels with those same types of situations. And that's kind of what led me to make the move to come here. And that's the fact that, for a long time, the U.S. passport has been this very, very valuable document, because it allows you anywhere and you have such a great experience with it. Today, you can only fly as a tourist to three countries. I think it's Albania, Bulgaria, and Brazil as an American. Everywhere else, you are shut off from. How long it's going to take for that to come back is a debate. But from my point of view, I don't think that that's actually happening anytime soon. So already at this point, people who want to leave the United States are prevented from doing so freely. Not by the United States, but by all of the countries around who are looking at the U.S.'s response and saying, we don't want to, have that type of thing spill over into our countries. You're
Moshe,
already seeing that there's already been
talking?
A massive shift. That was completely unthinkable.
Huge. Just
a few months ago. And if I were to guess, that is not going to come back anytime soon. And so the opportunities to really make the move are closing, and it's not normal times.
All right, Moshe, we're running out of time. Spit it out. Just say what you got to say, Moshe. We're running out of time. Say it.
So basically, if people have the ability to do so, to work for, remotely and have a rational way of making it happen, of course, not just moving and living off the air. You need to have some sort of plan. But even at the same time, Israel provides quite a bit of funding for you to come in. As we moved in, they give you
We're gonna bring you back on after these messages. Everyone, please stay put. Moshe, we're gonna bring you back. Everyone, thank you. Stay for the break. Stay for the break.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Returning Home. This is Natalie Sapinski. We're still speaking with Moshe Dejman. We got to keep this going because I have a lot of questions for him. Moshe, you can.
All right. So Moshe, while we're trying to get Natalie, maybe you can just talk with the audience and.
Sure. Yes. So I was just saying that when I was trying to explain what it is that I mean, I mean that really it's all kind of unraveling in the United States at the present moment, socially, economically, politically, financially. 22% of all dollars in circulation were printed in 2020, which means that the United States dollar is devaluing at an incredibly fast clip. That means to say that if you're holding dollars, they're going to be worth less as time goes on. After the elections that happen here, it's really anybody's guess what could happen. However, what's probably guaranteed is that it's going to be some very tumultuous times, and that's going to plunge the country into uncertainty, doubt, and that doesn't do anything positive towards the business landscape. The thing that business hates the most is uncertainty. And so what that would cause is a lot of problems in the business sector, which will either prompt further printing. Basically, at this point, we're just careening off of the cliff, and everyone's just doing everything possible to slam on the gas as much as fast as possible. And so everything's tearing apart in a way that no one has ever seen in the United States. However, I've seen it in Venezuela. It's happened in Europe. It's happened in a few different countries. And we're kind of at that point where critical mass has been triggered, and there is just no way back out of that. So you can either, you know, stick around and try to figure it out, or you can, have a plan and make a move, really, because the only thing that that you have in your favor at the present moment is time. When people all want to do the same thing, you're really not going to be able to do it then. And so if you have the ability to work or at least have some sort of rational direction towards coming to Israel and working it out after the fact, it really behooves you to do so, or at least to really seriously consider doing so, because of just how much tension is building in the country. And the moment that these elections hit, there's so many outside influences attempting to destabilize, internal influences destabilizing. Everything is extreme at the present moment. There's no unity. There's no United States of America. There's no "In God We Trust." There's none of these mottos and mantras that have held the country to the strength that it's had. We're very far away from those founding principles. And when you veer away from such a strong, in such a strong manner, away from what the stated mission of the organization, of the country is, you have really only two options. You can either take a moment to reassess and take back whatever it is that you were preaching before, whatever your mission statement was, and come up with a new mission statement while you wait, while you sacrifice some of the short-term for long-term gain, or you just snap in half, you just snap right in the middle And that's obviously a lot more painful. And I don't see anybody here doing any short-term sacrifice for long-term gain. Everything is all about short-term gain at the present moment. And there's just, you know, we're coming off of a 12-year bull run in the stock market that is being propped up as frantically as possible. So we're selling, or the United States is selling its future at a discount today at ever-steepening costs, which means to say that today is the best day the United States is going to have in a very long time. Tomorrow is going to be the best day the United States is going to have in a very long time. And you can say that for a very long period of time. So when you have that situation where you know there's just no, whatever's coming is just, you know, regular business market cycles occur in such a way that we've had the longest one. We're due for a correction. It's been due for a long time. Now you add to that all the social unrest. When you add financial unrest to the social unrest, to political unrest, I mean, this is just a fuse that's been lit in three different areas, and it's just coming straight to the base. I just don't see how anyone can really, have a logical case to say that there is anything, that has any silver lining at the present moment. You know, maybe in the next however long, but the world is going to be a very different place. The United States is about to turn into a very different place. And really, you just kind of have to, at this type of situation, you just have to fend for yourself and get yourself to higher ground. And in this environment, it's going to be Israel, if you're a Jew, because of God's protecting gaze on Israel and on his people. Because obviously, if it were to be for the government side or for the secular side of Israel, you're not really gaining much. It's actually like kind of very difficult to get around here, and it's not as convenient as the United States. But knowing all of that, I still know that Israel is a place that God watches upon. And really, the United States was the last stop before all the Jews returned to Israel. That's now. Everyone who can come should come. This is it. You know, when we were in Venezuela, the place to go was the United States. When you're in the United States and you want to leave, where do you go? I don't know where else to tell you other than to Israel. And only because we have this guarantee from Hashem, from God, who says that he himself watches over Israel. He watches his people in Israel. And so it'll be difficult in Israel still. Nothing's going to be easy. But at the very least, it's going to be much better than anywhere else. And you, if you make a decision like that of taking an action to just go for the protection of Hashem, that's it. You can't be in a better position. And then you just can say at this point that you can only control what you can control. What you can't control is in God's hands. And we leave that to him. And we believe that as Jews, whatever is coming for the good. Hashem knows exactly what he's doing. God knows exactly what he's doing in the world. Every single move, every single action is all articulated perfectly to his plan. Nothing here is out of place. Everything is exactly at its due time. And let's run back to him.
Moshe, this is Tamar Yonah. We're having some internet problems. And we're having some technical problems getting Natalie back on. So until she gets back on with us, I'll be here with you. We have another 3 minutes for this segment. I wanted to ask you, there are a lot of Jews in the United States today that are thinking either A, Trump is going to win, so, it's going to be okay, or B, Biden's going to win and it's going to be better because Trump is terrible. That's what a lot of secular Jews in the United States believe. More of the religious Jews vote Republican, conservative. But how much time would you personally, in your own opinion, estimate that Jews have? Would you urge them, telling them, America's on fire, you've got to leave now before everything goes or everything crashes down? Or what would you say to them?
So I would just say that the situation is a little bit bigger, a lot bigger actually, than any person can fill, any leader. And the two leaders that are in question over here are pushing 80, are in a different generation, and it's just, and it just in general, the whole thing just feels out of touch with reality. Whoever comes on is just not going to be able, doesn't have the right tools, nor the right leadership skills to be able to do anything. You can choose whichever one you want. It will make no difference. That's my opinion, at least. And in terms of how much time there is, it's impossible to know.
So you're saying that the car is careening off the road, and it doesn't matter who the driver is because there's no brakes anymore and the engine's off and it's just going its own direction anyway?
Like that, but also that they are even aiding and abetting it to go faster. Every move is just pushing it, is pushing the momentum forward in that direction.
Who is they?
All the policymakers, meaning anybody who's making a policy decision in this environment, is saying, let's keep it even keel through the elections. Then we'll have 4 years to deal with the fallout. We'll have 3 years, hopefully, of figuring things out. And by the fourth year of the election cycle, we'll say, oh, look, it took 3 years for us to get back, but look how much we've gotten back. So I think that those 3 years, at the very least, in a policymaker's mind or a person in top government, is saying those things are just, that time we don't really know. It doesn't really matter. It's kind of like finals at college. Like, you don't want to know anything about the summer just yet. You just have these finals coming up on Thursday. You just want to only focus on that. And once we're past that, then we can just relax. We're still in power, whatever they think that might happen in these elections. And then after that, it'll be what it'll be. You're asking me, like, how quickly? I think, honestly, like, quick.
In 5 seconds.
It's going to happen fast. It's not something that's going to take 6 months. It's not going to take 8 months. There's going to be a lot of contention. There's going to be a lot of arguing.
All right, everybody.
And there's going to be some flips.
Sorry, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Natalie Sapinski. You're listening to Returning Home. And we just spoke with Moshe Dejman, who lives in Beit Shemesh. He gave us a very important message. I hope you all heard it loud and clear. He said, if you want to move to Israel and you're on the fence, do not wait. Things are changing, and get out of America if you can. We've had a nice life there, but it's not forever. And he has seen this before. He is an immigrant once over from Venezuela. I really think you all need to listen, okay? Listen. Our next guest today is Zezi Fold. You all remember Zezi. He's been on a few times. He spent the summer in New York. He's back in his home in Israel. Zezi, are you with us?
Yep.
Awesome. Zezi and I were talking earlier about some practical things about when people move here, how they may have certain expectations that things will go smoothly, and how you should manage those expectations, in particular with things like shipping and a shipping company. Zezi, you want to get into it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, you and I were talking the last couple of days about shipping companies and which shipping company to go with and which not to go with. And I think you said it perfectly. I think managing expectations is exactly it. I mean, if you're thinking you're moving to Eretz Yisrael and moving to Israel and everything's going to be hunky-dory and there's going to be no stumbling blocks in your way, well then, you're going to be oddly mistaken. There are going to be stumbling blocks, but again, it's really all in your perception of what you're looking at and what you're seeing. And if you can look at the whole process of Aliyah, and you can look at it as, I really am going because I want to be in Eretz Yisrael. I want to be in Israel. And I'm not even saying it as a Zionist. I just believe that's where the best place for myself is. best place for my children is, best place for my family is, then if you're going with that outlook, then all the other issues that may come up, you know, one of the things that are coming up now in Beit Shemesh, where I live, it's one of the things funny, is the post office. You know, the post office here seems like stuck in 1924, where my mother had to call and make an appointment to call America, and things are just outdated. And you know what? And I said, you know what? I could be stuck in the post office for 2 hours and taking care of something. But at the end of the day, I'm here in Israel, and that's what my outlook is. My outlook in everything is I'm here in Eretz Yisrael. So we talked about shipping companies. We were talking about it a little bit yesterday. If you manage your expectations, and your expectations are, one of the things that we discussed, Natalie and I discussed yesterday and today, was like, if you're dealing with a shipping company, make sure everything is in writing. Make sure you know what you're getting. If you don't know what the questions you should ask, ask somebody. Am I going to be charged extra on the side of once it gets to Israel? And do I have to, one of the things that I didn't know, I'll give you for instance, I didn't know that if you live above a third floor, you have to pay an extra fee for a crane to put something, to lift things up to your window. Because in Israel, some of the elevators are smaller, or some places don't even have an elevator. And therefore, they say, listen, we're not going to take all your stuff upstairs. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and we'll go get a crane. And it's not going to cost us anything. It'll cost you. But you don't know that up front. You may be frustrated. You may come to your house and this whole big container comes to your house and it's overwhelming. And then they tell you that there's extra money. Manage expectations. Manage expectations is perfect. Know what you're coming to. Know what to expect. And really, as I think you said it perfectly, Nat. I think you said it perfectly. I think
okay. Really I did not really say anything perfectly. Calm down. But what you said to me earlier, and we should tell our listeners. And I said this. I hope. Ask your questions, and you know you're not going to know some of the questions. Ask Zezi, for instance, didn't know that you have to ask. Oh, am I going to be charged? Is there another fee for bringing my suitcases into the house? He didn't know. Who would know such a thing? Okay, if you don't know, you don't know, and that's okay. But what you have to do, I guess, is you're not going to be able to cross all your T's and dot all your I's. Even though they're so interactive today, the communication is great, and you have all these chats and people can answer your questions. You might not ask the right question, and you might not read the right answer. And when Zezi says, "Just be glad you're in Israel," it's a very smart and healthy attitude to keep that in mind, because at the end of the day, yes, you're going to have something won't go right. You know, things do go wrong. Someone might try to take advantage of you this way and that way, and it's horrible. Okay, and you're frustrated, and there's a new country. You've got to just breathe, you know, and look at the good. A move anywhere is hard. This is not America. This is the Middle East. You know, if you can have someone help you, get someone to help you. One thing I hate, and I do it, but I hate it, and my husband hates it even more, asking for help. Okay, I do it a lot. My husband won't do it at all. I'm the one who asks, and all kinds of things. So I can't even tell you how many things. Can you read this contract? Can you translate this for me? Can you translate this letter from school? I don't understand this Bezek bill. I'll ask a neighbor. Can you fix this lock? We don't have tools. You know, Israelis who've lived here and have parents here and have sisters and brothers here have a lot more resources than maybe you and me. And maybe something that's embarrassing and seems like a big deal to me is like nothing to them at all. It's so funny. And the reverse. Exactly the reverse. I've had questions, like friends ask me, Natalie, my daughter is trying to make an invitation for her American relatives. Can you translate this? And it takes me 2 seconds. Okay? Zezi, do you agree with that outlook?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that also the outlook here in Israel, it's not like it's your issue and I don't want to deal with it. Everyone here is so helpful. Just for an instance, on my neighborhood group, we have a neighbor group, and some lady did tie-dye yesterday with her family. And she just put up on the group, said, listen, you know what? We have extra tie-dye ink. She didn't even say, hey, whoever wants to pick it up, come pick it up. She said, tell your kids to come over to my house, bring your shirts. We have enough rubber bands, and I'll help your kids get the tie-dye done. It's just, it's really one family here. It's one, everyone wants to help people out. And it's not like you're going and requesting help and you're like, hopefully somebody's going to answer. The issue that you'll always have is how many people are going to answer. You're going to have 10 people giving you advice on one thing. And you're like, well, who do I go to? Everyone here wants to help you. It really is like that. It's not even like a joke.
Yeah, everyone no, it's a good thing. Tell them the story about you tying your shoe.
Oh, I love that story. I love that story. My mother loves that story. So my mother and I were in just finishing shopping in the supermarket in the Machane Yehuda, which is the Shuk in Yerushalayim. And there was a lot of bags. And, you know, my mother, I don't let my mother carry the bags. I carry the bags. And we get to a bus stop. And my mother says to me, she says, please tie your shoes. But there were things in the bags. There were fruits and other things in the bags. And I said to my mom, do you want to hold them instead of me putting them on the floor? So I give, my mom said, sure, because she asked me to tie my shoes. So I give the bags to my mom, and all of a sudden, this lady comes to me and starts yelling at me. And she's yelling at me, and I'm like, what do you want? She's like, she's yelling at me because I gave my mom the bags. She said, how dare you give your mom the bags to carry? And I'm sitting there trying to explain to her, like, no, I was holding the bags. I just gave them to my mom for a second just so I could tie my shoes. And my mother turned to me when we got back on the bus after I was traumatized from tying my shoelace, and she said to me, isn't it so beautiful? Like, although, like, maybe you may want people to mind their own business, but the other hand is that person wanted you to do the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, the mitzvah of honoring your parents the best way you could, and she didn't know that you were, giving me the bags because I told you to, she just saw a kid giving her the mom the bag.
Right, okay, so, right. So let me just jump in. You said it to me off the air. People, you know, you wanted to say to the lady, mind your own business. Now, people here do not mind their own business. Now, I personally love that. I personally love that because, like, I think it can work in your favor in a lot of ways. If people know what's going on, if you need help, they're going to jump in and help you. Like, you all heard me talk about this summer how our washing machine broke. And so I was complaining about it to some woman at the pool. And, like, she told everybody, and I got like 10 offers of people to use their laundry machine. It was awesome. And then I complained that I didn't have a car because my kids had a car. So they're like, oh, I'll come pick it up. I mean, it was hilarious. And my kids were like a little bit humiliated. Mommy, you're always asking for help. I get this a lot. I was like, I really didn't ask for anything. Okay. I was just complaining. It's very nice here, and it goes both ways. You always have an opportunity here to help someone else, and it really is gratifying. You know, I have like so many friends here, and they have family here, and I've always called them spoiled, and it's not the kind of spoiled that I was raised to think. It's not about they have a new stuffed animal and they have a beautiful necklace. They have a lot of support. Their parents make their kugel for them and come for the, you know, Pesach. They have sisters and brothers who can get them, you know, like connections. That's spoiled. Right. We're alone. So when you have an opportunity here to do a mitzvah, to make a cake for a soldier, to go clean someone's floor because they just had a baby, it's actually, I love it. And I have those opportunities. Even though I'm alone here, I have those opportunities to help other people. I'm in charge of the used clothing store here. People call me all the time to get in the store, and I love it because I finally get to give back. And no matter how recent an old man you are and how foreign you may feel, you're going to have an opportunity for that too. And it's the best. It's the best medicine. Nachon?
It really is. And one of you, I just want to tell you a quick story that happened.
We're
to
30
me.
Seconds. Spit it out.
30 seconds. I'll tell you a story quickly. Last week, middle of the holiday weekend, one of my neighbors knows that I own a carnival business. I have moon bounces. And he turns to me and goes, why don't you open one of the moon bounces for the whole community? I was like,
awesome.
Excuse me, mind your own business. But I didn't say mind your business. I said, you know what, you're right.
We're out of time. That is a great
next time.
Totally next time. We have to continue that. Thank you for joining us. We'll catch you all next week.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.